Welcome to The Liberating Secret. My name is Sylvia Pierce, and thank you for being with us today. We're doing a series, and it's Christ Our Life Ministries Scriptural Basis. And you can look on our website, and you will find all the outline scriptures that we're covering today, because these are all the scriptures that where we get our teaching at Christ Our Life Ministries, or The Liberating Secret. Well, last time I said a very strong thing, and actually I'm just quoting what the Bible says, when it says that you are dead. How in the world can we declare ourselves dead? How can we do that? Well, let's read on in Romans chapter 6 and see what it says. It says in that verse was in Colossians 3:3 that it says you are dead, but it also says it here in Romans chapter 6, verse 2. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? How can we who are dead to sin? That's a big thing to say. I mean, the first time I heard that, I thought, that is ridiculous. I feel like I just sin every day. How can I be dead to sin? How can that be? But you know what? I saw it, and I remember, I think I read it through Watchman Nee. I don't know if you all know Watchman Nee, but he's got some great books. Get on the internet and find his books. But anyway, I just read that he declared that the Bible says that we are dead to sin. And I thought, well, that doesn't seem reasonable to me, but that's not how I was saved, thinking about how reasonable it sounded. The way I was saved was I just simply believed God. So I'm just going to take that. I don't know what it means. Well, years later, I did find out what it meant. And that's why I teach on The Liberating Secret, because this is what we expound on, is the meaning of what it means to be dead to sin. Well, let's read on the scripture and see what it says. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, you were buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, Jesus couldn't raise his own self, the glory raised him. Even so, we also shall walk in newness of life. For if you are planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Okay, now when was I baptized into his death? What does that mean? Is that talking about water baptism? Water baptism is wonderful, but really it's a symbol of an inner reality. Now, what is the spiritual reality? We're so used to going to the outside and seeing everything outward that we do is important, putting our faith and reliance on it as well, that we need to take a look at really what this is. This is not talking about water baptism. This is talking about being put into Christ at the cross. Now, I always say Jesus was not a lonely Savior 2,000 years ago dying for your sins. You were there at the cross with him. I was there. All humanity was there, dying with him. Now, by that, we can't say that all humanity is automatically saved. Neither was I automatically saved. I had to repent and come to Christ and put my faith and trust in him and his blood. And so that's what saves me, not the fact that the fact is he did the actual act. But I've got to put my faith in the actual act in order to claim it and have it for myself. Because it says, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to be the sons of God. So we've got to receive what's already done, or possess what's already ours. You know, the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness simply because they would not possess their possessions. They would not go. They already had the promised land, was already theirs, but they wouldn't take it. So I think we Christians are just like that, wandering in our own self-efforts and our own blindness and stuck trying to figure life out simply because we won't take the leap of faith and say what God says and move into the promised land and possess what's already yours. So we're not saying that you have to get any more in Christ. You've already got everything there is to get in Jesus Christ. But just, you've got to recognize it. Just like your computer already has everything available, but yet if you can't access the programs and know how to operate the computer, you know, it's as if you don't even have a computer. It might be sitting there in your house, and a lot of people do that, especially people my age. But let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting with verse 19. To wit, God the Father was in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What is the word of reconciliation? The word of reconciliation is to say to people that Christ has already provided the provision for you to be saved. He's already provided reconciliation for you. He did it at the cross. That God Almighty, God the Father, was in Jesus Christ reconciling the world into himself. And I don't want to go off into this subject, but everybody always says God left Jesus at that point. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says God the Father was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world unto himself. So why did he say, why hast thou forsaken me? I think he fell in his consciousness into the separated consciousness of mankind, the same consciousness we have, and so therefore he didn't realize his Father was there. The Bible says God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world unto himself. So, okay, and then this is what it says in verse 20 of 2 Corinthians 5. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ, as though Christ did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. That's how you're reconciled to God. Take it by faith. So the scripture is saying it's already been done by the Savior, God the Father, in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world unto himself. And he did it by the act of being the sacrificial Lamb of God, taking away the sins of the world, reconciling us back to God. And but then the Bible says, be ye reconciled. In other words, you take it by faith. It's yours. It's yours if you take it by faith. It's not yours if you do not take it by faith, because you make God a liar. You say, it's not, this isn't truth. I'm not going to take it. So then it goes on to say, this is how we're reconciled. This is great. And I always like to use a cup. Now, I've got a glass. It's clear. Hopefully you can see this clear glass. But this glass represents our humanity, or the humanity of Jesus. Because we said earlier in these lessons that the human being is nothing but a vessel. The Bible says that. The Bible says you're a vessel. You're a container. Or this glass represents it. You're just a cup or a glass. Okay? That's what the human being is. Now listen to this next verse. For he, that means God the Father, hath made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So, we're now talking about Jesus on the cross, God the Father in Christ Jesus, reconciling the world, and he is in a human body. That's what a vessel is. That's what a container is. And it says, but God Almighty made him to be sin. So God Almighty poured sin into this clear glass, because that's what he was. He had no sin. This clear glass represents Jesus better than one that is colored. Okay, clear, he was clear. He had no sin in and of himself. His humanity expressed no sin in his lifetime. He was a pure and perfect sacrifice. But God Almighty poured sin into his body. Now this is the meaning of the body death. Now what is sin? We said sin was a noun, a person. It's personified. So he poured the whole satanic realm, person, fruit, and root included, inside of Jesus Christ. The root of all sin is Satan. It says that in 1 John 3, verse 8, says that it's Satan that sinned from the beginning, and God and Jesus was born to take away and destroy the works of Satan. So this is the works of Satan. You know, we always want to see the works of Satan out here somewhere. The works of Satan are inside of us. We need to be delivered from the works of Satan inside of us. Okay, so God Almighty poured the satanic nature, root and fruit, all of its, as well as all of its consequences, into the body of Jesus. I want to tell you, if I had a black glass, his body became black, because his body became saturated with the satanic spirit. Let me tell you, in the Old Testament, when the high priest laid his hand on the goat or the lamb, he actually transmitted sin spirit into that lamb. And then when he took and cut the throat of that lamb and drained the blood, the body was taken to the other priest. Some of it was burned, some of it was boiled, a lot of it was eaten. When those priests ate that meat, it was contaminated meat, it actually made them deathly sick. So that really proves that Jesus, when he took on sin and was made sin on our behalf, his whole body was impregnated with the spirit of sin. And it could be that that's why the centurion that was looking on to him said, "Is this the Son of God?" Because who knows, maybe his sin, his body started manifesting some of the diseases and sicknesses, and because he took it on all. The diseases and sicknesses are the fruit of what sin is. The root of it is Satan himself. So he became Satan indwelt humanity. That is so offensive to people. Even Christians have a problem with that. They say, wait a minute, you're saying, that's exactly what the scripture is saying. He was made what we were so that we can be fully delivered. We cannot be delivered. We cannot know the fullness of our deliverance until we know the fullness of what Jesus was made at the cross. At the cross, that we might be made his righteousness. Guess what, folks? That's the exchange life. Okay, the sin spirit went in. And if I had a black glass, that represented him. And you know what happened to him? He died. It did not take his life. He gave it up. That cross and all that beating did not take his life. Satan did not take his life. He gave his life up. He surrendered it to the Father. And he says, "Unto thy hands I surrender myself." So he surrendered himself to the Father. And when he did, I want to tell you, what happens in a death? The death, when you go to the funeral, you say, "Uncle George, oh, poor Uncle George, isn't he? Oh, but he's not really there. He's dead, but he's not really there." Why do we say that? Because the spirit comes out of the body. Well, that's what death is, not annihilation. It's separation. The satanic spirit came out of his dead body, and he was separated from sin. The only way that we can be delivered and separated from sin is if we identify ourselves to be in Christ when he was crucified 2,000 years ago, and when he died, you and I died. We died to sin. That's how we are dead to sin. Because when he died, the sin spirit came out and his body went to the grave. And there, that is separation. You are separated from sin. That's why to say that I still have an old nature is a lie, and is one of the biggest lies in Christianity. It is a lie. It is not the truth. Then you're not believing that Christ was made sin, and the satanic spirit came out of him. The nature of Satan came out of him, and I have a brand new nature in Christ. How do I have a brand new nature? Okay, that body is now dead. He cannot get his body out of that grave, out of that death situation. It says the glory of God raised him from the dead. You and I cannot get out of it either. We cannot raise ourselves. We have to depend and live on the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. And the very fact that the Father came and raised him from the dead and filled him with the Holy Spirit of God, making him that pure, glorified being, resurrected Christ. Now, the Bible says not only say that we are dead with Christ, because it does say that in Romans 6. Galatians 2:20 says, "See that he is your very life." And that's how you can say it. That's the authority by which you can say that Christ is your life. That's the authority that we can say in Christ Our Life Ministries that Christ already is your life. Just get to know it. Get to understand it. Get to take it by faith. Even when you look the opposite and act the opposite. Because believe me, I look the opposite and act the opposite. At some point through this whole teaching, I'm going to give you my own personal experience when this happened to me and what it was like. It was some experience, and it's going to be some experience in you, because you're going to know that you have died with Christ, that he was not a lonely Savior. You were there on the cross with him because you were Satan indwelt humanity. You died with him and you were buried with him, because the only way you can be delivered from that satanic spirit is through death and buried, helpless to get yourself out of the grave. He was helpless to get himself out of the grave. And yet the glory of the Father raised him from the dead and declared you to be a resurrected, brand new creation in Christ. What is the old creation? Satan indwelt humanity. What is the new creation? Christ indwelt humanity. That's who you really are in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. What a gospel. What a Savior. What an act of obedience. Is through this one act of obedience that Christ has absolutely set us free and made us partakers of his divine nature. Made us partakers of his divine nature and delivered us from a satanic nature. Hallelujah. Okay, now, then why do we still sin if we're already delivered? That's a very good question. What is the power of our sinning? Why does sin still have power over us? Basically, you don't know you're dead, number one. Number two, you don't really know how to live holy and fully under grace and not under law. Now, but you say, but I'm a Christian. I don't live under law. Oh, really? How much do you depend on yourself? Do you depend on yourself for this or that, or to be right, be righteous in God's eyes, or be righteous in other people's eyes by the things you do? Or is it by the very act of faith in the one who's done, has finished the work? If you're wholly and completely trusting the one who has finished the work, you see, then you're not living by the law. You're living by faith in the one who is your life. But if you're still living, trusting in the things that you do, things that you should and ought do, you see, then you're still living under the law. And guess what? Romans says in chapter 6, in verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. I like to reverse that. But sin shall have dominion under you, if you are, since you're still living under the law. Sin will have dominion over you if you're still trusting in yourself to be good, to do the right thing. You see? If you're still trusting in your own flesh to be it, sin will have dominion over you, power over you. Now, there's another verse in 1 Corinthians 15:56 that says, the power of sin is the law. Now, that's, okay, so sin is not my problem then. The law is my problem. And me, an independent me, trying to keep the law is my real problem. Now, I did a chart, and I do a chart called What is Man? And in it, I have a chart that's called How Does Sin Get Power Over Us? And I'm going to read that chart to you, and I probably will post that on these outlines that I'm doing on the Liberating Secret website. Let me read this to you because it's very important. A friend of mine, Therese Thurston, a good friend of mine, we did some programs called How Does Sin Get Power Over You? You can find those on spiritbroadcasting.net. Okay, this is what I say. Satan gets his hold on us through the law. That's exactly what 1 Corinthians 15:56 says. Now, this is my commentary on it. As long as we see ourselves as an independent self separated from God, in other words, I'm just me here by myself, then the law shouts at us and we try to respond. See, we're not seeing our union with Christ. We're seeing ourselves separate, trying to keep the law. Then the law shouts at us because we always have something shouting, well, you shouldn't do that. You oughtn't to do this. And we try to respond. We think, we agree with it. Oh, yeah, I do. Well, then I shouldn't do that. So what do? We rise up as though we are not crucified with Christ and try to fulfill the law by self-effort. There it is. This is what traps us. The more we try, the more bound up we are. Satan has tricked us into believing a lie. And then sin has its grip on us again. Around and around we go, caught in the trap of trying and failing, as sin reigns in our humanity. Because, see, we're still trying to keep the law. We're still under the law. Even though we're saved and we're declaring the truth about us, we're still, in our daily living, we're still living as if we're separate beings. You see? The way out is to stand by faith, seeing ourselves crucified with Christ. So he was not lonely. I was there with him. You were there with him. There is no independent me to respond to the law. When you know you're dead, then the law can shout at you until it's blue. But you will not respond, because a dead person can't keep the law. For I am dead to the law. Now that's the bigger. The Bible in Romans 6 says that we're dead to sin. Now Romans 7 is saying we're dead to the law. That is huge. That we might be married to another. It says that in Romans 7, 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. This is what's been provided for us through his bodily death, that you should be married to another. So that means that we're joined to Christ, married to Christ. He's our true husband. To another, even to him who's raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. The only way that we can have the fruits of the Spirit, which are peace, love, joy, long-suffering, all the fruit manifested in us, is to know that Christ is our life and he's the fruit bearer. We cannot bear our own fruit. You know, all this takes place because we don't understand that we're just simply a container. The human is a simple vessel, just a simple container, not with a nature of its own, not able to produce anything in and of itself, and just simply a container. And we were a container filled with Satan. Now through the cross, we're still a container filled with Christ. Praise the Lord. Now the devil comes and knocks on the door of my humanity and makes me think I'm still alive. And the law shouts at me now. And the devil will take the law and wave it in my face. He'll even take the Bible and wave it in my face and say, keep this, do this, be right, look this way. And then if I don't know that I'm dead, I'll say, okay, I'll try. Okay. And the whole time I'm agreeing with the devil and believing that I have the power and might in my own self to do it. That's the great deception. That's what's going to set people free, is to know that great deception that permeated mankind through the fall and now still is in our consciousness. You see, Satan is out, because the Bible says in Romans 6, know you not that the old man, that's Satan indwelled humanity, is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So, what does the Bible say? The Bible says we're dead. Let me read real fast some scriptures that say this. That it says that the old man is crucified. That's not who I am. I'm a new man now in Christ. The Galatians 2:20 says, I'm crucified with Christ. I no longer live. It's Christ that lives in me. Colossians 2:11 says that I'm circumcised with Christ, putting off the body of sin. That happened at the cross. Circumcision is putting off the flesh, really. Circumcision is cutting away of the flesh. Well, what does that mean? We're spiritually circumcised. How is that? By cutting off the rights of fallen flesh. It doesn't have any independent source of its own. So that's why the Bible says I'm circumcised. It says I'm baptized unto his death. I died with him 2,000 years ago. How do I die daily? Because the Bible also says we die daily. We die daily by recognizing I'm already dead. You don't have to kill yourself. Self won't give up self, so don't try to kill yourself. You're already dead. Just that's a fact. See that. And now you're partakers of the divine nature. I'd also see that. I'm going to stop here, and we'll continue on next time. And thank you for joining us in lesson number 15 in Christ Our Life Scriptural Basis. Goodbye. I hope that you've been blessed by today's program. These programs have been brought to you by Christ Our Life Ministries, based in Louisville, Kentucky. If you would like to know more about us, please check out our websites, www.theliberatingsecret.org and www.spiritbroadcasting.net. The Liberating Secret is our literary site. We offer many articles by many authors, and I have my own writings on it as well. You will find a bookstore where you will be able to purchase many of my own books and booklets, as well as other authors who also teach the truths of liberation. We have an online monthly newsletter that you might want to sign up for. Check it out. You're going to be blessed if you do. Now for our other website, which is the Spirit Broadcasting Network. All of our past TV and radio programs are being broadcast on this website. If you have a favorite program, you might want to find it here. If you are interested in any events such as conferences, retreats, or home meetings that we are conducting, please check out our calendar that you will find on both of our websites. We have an annual conference here in Louisville, Kentucky in May. It is always held the weekend after Mother's Day. We have great fellowship, great teaching, and great music by Ron Block, and he's from Nashville. Twice a year, I teach a woman's retreat at Pawleys Island, South Carolina. Women, don't wait to sign up for Pawleys. You will love it. If you would like to have a meeting in your area, please email me at sylviap@theliberatingsecret.org. And thank you for joining us, and may God richly bless you. Goodbye.